This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to episode 4 of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be in the show or recommend someone you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to Discover ADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Randolph West, who goes by the pseudonym Rabrist on app.net. He lives in Calgary, Alberta, and runs his own software consultancy agency. In addition to having a great deal of enthusiasm for databases, he has a deep-seated passion for song. Please join me in welcoming Randolph to Discover ADN. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So, let me get started. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
Pretty much the week it started. It was a chase to try and get in with the Kickstarter so that I could be one of the first. I tried to get in as soon as I could, but I had credit card issues. Namely, I didn't have one. So it took me right until, I think it was the end of the month of August 2012. Yes, 2012, before I joined, but I was one of the first ones.
Okay. Why did you join app.net?
Because John Gruber told me to in one of his blog posts, or whatever he calls it, his link blog. And it looked interesting, and I liked what the Kickstarter said, and I was fed up with Twitter, and I didn't want adverts. So that was pretty much the reason.
I see. Okay. You use a pseudonym on app.net.
Can you
tell us, where does Rabrist come from?
Well, thank you for pronouncing it that way, because it's actually based on three of my four names. Randolph is the R-A, the B-R-Y is from Brian, and the S-D is from Stuart. And as you can hear, it's quite English. I apologize in advance for my family's misfortunes. And It's an interesting word to pronounce because I've never actually heard it said out loud until you.
How did you pronounce it in your head?
The same way you did. So that's why I thanked you for pronouncing it that way, because once I explained it, they tried to get the Y sound from Brian in there, and that just doesn't sound good.
Okay. I have the same problem when people try to say my pseudonym, which is actually Matigo. So the I is not quite as strong as many people say.
So do you put more emphasis on the second syllable then, or is it just because I say it in my head Matigo with the emphasis on the first syllable?
Yeah, that's exactly how I say it.
Well, that's fantastic then.
Indeed. Yeah, it comes from a much longer name, but that's a different story.
And this is about me, not about you. So
I
like this. Yes, let's keep going about me then.
We can certainly do that. So can you tell us, what would you like to see more of on app.net?
Oh, I'm going to start ranting if I don't behave. Honestly, I was a little annoyed by the opening of the network to so many free accounts. And I would like to see less of something, not more of something, if I may twist your question accordingly. And that would be to see less of the accounts that are just reposting from elsewhere with no engagement on the network itself. I understand and appreciate what broadcast is. I think that's a separate entity, but I'm fed up with the free accounts and not all of them, obviously. I'm talking about the ones that just repost from other places. And I'd like to see less of that.
Okay. To play devil's advocate,
yes.
The free accounts that post from Buffer or If This Then That and these multitudes of services that spam global, they don't directly interact with us. So unless we go to the global timeline, we don't see them. Why does their presence bother you?
Because I am a fuddy-duddy, and when I first joined the network, Global was a place to meet new and interesting people. And much like IRC before us and various other social networks, which didn't have the name social network back in the day, if you wanted to meet new people, it was much easier to meet new people in a more controlled environment. And I understand why they're doing it. And as you say, you're playing devil's advocate. And if it were my network, I would probably do the same thing. It doesn't mean I have to like it.
I can appreciate that answer.
Thank you. And I apologize for ranting, but it is my want, and I want to rant. So there you go.
Well, that is no problem. This is your soapbox.
Thank you.
So let's change gears a little bit. Sure. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
Many, many things. I just like to be remembered. On a more serious note, I'd like to be known for making people smile. That's really my goal in life. I had an interesting childhood. It was a very happy childhood in places and a less happy childhood in other places. I had parents with a great sense of humor each, and I like to see people smile. So if anything, that's what I want to get out of life. And if I can educate people at the same time, I find that people learn a lot easier when they're smiling. So that's kind of like what I want to be known for. But if I want to stroke my own ego, I also like to act and sing and all that sort of stuff. So I'd like to one day be a little bit more known in that field as well.
Well, that works nicely with the next question.
It's a good segue. It's like
it is a good segue. Yes, you have shared with us on numerous occasions your passion for song. You have attended concerts in Carnegie Hall, I believe.
Just the one, but yes.
Well, that's still more often than I have gone. And yes. This raises the question, how long have you been in a choir?
I have been in a choir, and it is now the 7th of April when we're recording this. So that would be 4 months and 4 months and 2 weeks, roughly.
So 4 months and 2 weeks, and in that time you were able to practice and refine your voice enough to sing in Carnegie.
Well, don't forget that we were in Carnegie 4 months ago, so I actually had very little time to prepare. What happened was the Calgary Men's Chorus, of which my husband is a member and has been since we got to Calgary, I told him to go and do that while I did something else so that he could meet new people and make friends, because with his schedule, it's very difficult to meet people. So I told him to go and do that, and I would do something else, and I didn't get a chance to do anything else because I broke my foot last year and stuck around the house for 3 months, which was greatly exciting. And then they were going to go to New York in January to perform as part of a big men's choir. And at the last minute, somebody dropped out. And because we already had plans to go and because airfares and hotels were paid for, they asked if I'd like to jump in and fill the gap. And I said yes, because why not? And as far as refining my voice is concerned, I used to sing when I was a boy soprano in primary school, and did a bit of singing in high school, but that was pretty much it. I did some, during my acting, I did some singing in 2006, but not enough to say that I consider myself a good singer. But apparently it was enough to get to Carnegie Hall. So whoever says you need to practice is lying. You just need to have great deals of luck.
So how soon until you release your first album?
Never. Never, never, never. And in fact, tonight is the first time I'm agreeing to let people hear what I sound like, because I'm very fussy about that for some reason. I don't like the sound of my voice, and I think I've mentioned that to you as well. And I don't like listening to myself. And even when my TV ads came on, I didn't want to watch them. I hated them. So, yes, I'm probably not even going to listen to this podcast. So, apologies.
I will be sure to give you fair warning when this episode is about to launch.
I'm sure I'll see my name in it when it comes through the RSS feed.
You had mentioned that you also do some acting.
Yes.
Will you participate in any plays or performances later this year?
Not this year, because the season for the choir lasts until around September, and they already start doing casting calls in August for end of year shows. So unless I can find something that's a shorter one or two act, then it's unlikely. I might do something next year, though.
Well, do keep us posted on any upcoming performances.
I will do. And if anybody is listening to this who's ever been to Lloydminster, they're still playing my TV ads on the local channel. All three of you can watch that.
Well, if we're lucky, somebody can find a copy of it and post it online for the rest of us.
It's already on YouTube, and I will not share the link.
Okay. Let me ask a little bit about your professional career, because you write a lot about databases, and not just any database, but a closed source database that I myself really appreciate and really love, Microsoft's SQL Server.
Yes.
Why do you prefer that database over all of the other ones?
That is a loaded question, because I wouldn't say I prefer it. I am extremely familiar with it, I think is a better way to put it. And the training that I've been on is specific to that product. I have been interested in databases since, how old am I now? 37. Since I was about 9 or 10, we had basic on a cartridge system from when I was very young, and I learned some programming on that. And persisting files to disk didn't exist, it was all to tape. And I got very interested in data structures. I didn't know what they were called at the time. And from there, an interest developed. I started working with SQL Server in version 6.5 when I started working for a PeopleSoft consulting agency. And if Stuart's listening, hello, Stuart. And I got very interested in SQL Server then. I preferred it to Oracle because the tools, the management tools, were much easier to use. I think 6 introduced the Enterprise Manager, and then it just got better and better. The rewrite that they did with version 7 was spectacular. They made it their own product, and it's just been getting better and better every release. And in fact, they've just launched a new version a week ago, and it's the best one yet. So I love it. And it was a roundabout way of me saying that it's the one I'm most intimately familiar with, but I also know MySQL. I also know Postgres. I also know Access. I also know a little bit of Oracle, though I'm very rusty. And any sort of data structures fascinate me, and I'm actually trying to write something of my own just to see what it's like.
Well, good luck with that project.
Thank you.
Yes, creating a database mechanism is insanely complex.
Well, yes, and that's why I want to do it. And not to see that I can do it, but to see if I can do it. Because I already have the world's respect for anybody who can write software that's releasable. And if I can do something, then that's cool. I think that's very cool.
Well, I look forward to seeing that.
Thank you.
You also do a lot of other software work. How long have you been working in software professionally?
Professionally, almost as long as I've been playing with software, which is, as I mentioned, when I was 10 or 11. I started charging money for it when I was doing web development in the mid-90s. So that's when I was around 19 or 20. And again, I started with HTML in Notepad. Do you remember that, kids?
I remember.
And it progressed to all the open source stuff first. And then when ASP came out, I learned ASP in 2 weeks, the classic ASP, not the .NET one. And then it progressed from there when I discovered SQL Server properly and that it could be linked to the back end of a website. That was it for me. So I've been interested in software development for years. I've written a few open source and shareware apps over the years with minimal success, but that's fine. I don't care, because it's all about the creating of the product more than getting it out there, because I'm learning something new when I do it. And if somebody else learns something, then that's great.
Well, that's...
That's A.
I have lost my train of thought.
That's A. Well, you see, that's where it comes back to me wanting people to learn. Even if it's from my mistakes, I want people to learn new stuff. I like learning new stuff. I like reading. I read a huge amount of words every day, mostly news and a lot of technology because it's my interest, but other stuff as well. Because I like to have, even if it's a little bit of knowledge, I like to have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things. So I can talk to people about certain things, ask them about certain things, know about current events and history as well, so that I don't offend people when they ask me, what do you do? And I say, well, what do you do? And they mention something I've never heard of. I don't want to be that guy. I want to say, well, I know this much about it. Can you tell me more?
And that's the very same thing that I enjoy doing here.
Well, there we go. So we're kindred.
Let me ask you this question then, because working with technology, try as we might, is very cumbersome and frustrating at times. When we were growing up, the sales pitch was that computers would make our lives easier, when in fact, it's probably done exactly the opposite. Our lives have become incredibly more complicated in ways that we just can't imagine. What would make computers easier for you to use going forward?
Even on ADN, that I wish that there was a psychic computer that could tell me what I'm thinking, so that it could do what I'm wanting it to do instead of what I think I want it to do. Because usually I can work at a problem for ages, and then 2 minutes later, I can think of a better way of doing it, which should have been the right way in the first place. And it was always there in the back of my mind. But that's not really answering your question. I do believe the computers have become more complicated and made our lives more complicated. But at the same time, I do think that technology has made everybody's lives easier. So it's a toss-up. It's really, if it wasn't for computers, I wouldn't have a career. I definitely wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be enjoying what I'm doing now. And goodness knows what I'd be doing, actually, for that matter. And at the same time, it's made people's lives incredibly difficult, especially the people who recently handed over a website for me that was hacked. And they don't know what to do. They're about to get sued for lots of money, and it's made their lives incredibly difficult. So he throws his arms up in the air and says, I don't know.
Yeah, the situation that you have with that one client, I feel really bad for them.
It's not just one client, though. It's happening all the time, and unfortunately, it's going to happen a lot more. The ease of technology, access to everywhere in the world, has allowed the ease of access to malware, to people who previously would have been robbing banks and stealing candy from stores, and now they're going on to illicit activities online, and they're less likely to be caught. And that's just a fact of human life, and it's a fact of the 21st century, and how are we going to deal with that? I don't know.
Yeah, that is a difficult question. Internet crime can come from any nation in the world, and we don't have effective law enforcement all over the planet, let alone extradition treaties to bring the guilty parties to local shores for a proper trial.
Well, no, you're not. And in a hypothetical case, you've got Jordan and Iran and Canada all listed as IP addresses as attack sources of a website, who do you go after? Is the one in Canada just a proxy? Is it the actual guy sitting there and he's proxying through Jordan and Iran? Where's it coming from? Nobody can tell. It's just one of those things. So what do? We have to educate people. But how much can you educate them without them throwing up their hands as well and saying, I give up? Because at some stage, you've got to say, the technology works good enough, or well enough, so we'll just have to handle the risk when it comes.
And may it never come.
I can't answer that. It probably never will. But I'm doing my best to educate, and I get told, shut up, Randolph, you're rambling, or shut up, Randolph, nobody cares. Not necessarily by the people close to me, but I know it's happening. My mother says I work with computers. It's the only way she can describe what I do.
Interesting. I think my mother says the same. So, and, as you said, we're very kindred.
Yes, and wherever she says it, she types with her imaginary fingers on the imaginary keyboard whenever she says it. And I love my mother dearly. But I can't explain to her that I had to get the help of Scott McIntyre in Australia to help me figure out what was happening 3 weeks ago on this website, because she's going to gloss over, and who can blame her? I gloss over when people talk to me about tax and accounting. Who can blame us? There's only so much we can fit in our heads.
Okay. So let's come to the final part of our show today. And yes. this is where we get to showcase some of the people that we enjoy following on app.net. So could you tell us three people that you would recommend everybody follow?
Well, I'm going to show a little bit of bias here, because you're definitely on that list. I find you fascinating because you have wisdom beyond your years. That's not to say I do, but I find reading your blog, for example, gives me new ideas or rephrases thoughts in my head in a new and interesting way. So you're definitely on that list. I have to say Maddie, MPS, because that one can talk. And even though she's doing a lot of reposts or just comments on posts, it's still, again, very interesting to get another perspective on life. One of the things that I've had trouble with growing up is understanding what other people are thinking, what other people are saying, because I have I'm on the autism spectrum, so I have trouble understanding what people are trying to get across or convey. Some days I'll be very, what's the word?
Perceptive?
No, quite the opposite. I will be literal, very literal. So you'll say something to me and I will not get it if it's a joke or sarcasm, whatever. And it'll take me sometimes a few hours to realize that I'm in one of those moods. And it's very difficult to understand. So when my point is that when I get to ADN, it's very useful to see what other people are doing, how they're reacting to something, to get an idea of how I should react. I'm not saying that they lead and that I follow, but it gives me more perspective and to sort of figure out if I'm misinterpreting something, because that does happen quite a bit. So that's two people on the list. Who would be my third? How about Brianna? Brianna's fascinating. So is Anna. Anna Tarkov, we mentioned earlier before we started recording. Yes, let's go with Anna. I like Anna. She's interesting. Let's go with Anna as my third.
What is it about Anna that you enjoy reading?
Well, it's got a lot to do with the way I was brought up. Very English, I think, is a nice way of putting it. My parents were both born in South Africa, but my father's family is from England. And you can hear it a little bit in my voice because I was taught to speak a certain way. And because of that, because of the whole empire and all of that stuff, my grandmother and my grandfather were very, very English. My grandfather was in the British Army. So I have a very Eurocentric point of view, very male-dominated society, and it's very interesting to get an idea of what women are feeling and seeing in things that I dismiss completely, and trying to adjust my own opinions and perceptions to accommodate that point of view, and maybe reflect on how I've lived my life and how I've spoken to certain people.
Yeah, I also enjoy following and really understanding what it is that Anna and Red Queen Encoder and Space Cat Gal are saying when they are talking about equality, like real equality, not perceived equality, which is what we seem to have today. We've got this perceived equality, which to males is a balance, but which in reality is nothing of the sort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way I was raised was, be kind to your sister, be kind to your mother, talk properly to women, don't treat them with disrespect. But the fact that I have to be taught that is a problem. It should come naturally. And that's really why I enjoy reading them. I may not agree with everything that they say, and it would be wrong of me to agree with everything they say. I'm not a yes man. I have my own opinions. But it's important to see what they have to say to challenge my perceptions, to challenge my point of view, and say, well, maybe I was thinking about this wrong. Maybe I should actually go and read about this problem, investigate it more, and maybe do something about it. Instead of just sitting there and saying, ha ha, there's another one, another feminist going mad on the internet. Because that's wrong.
That's absolutely right. And I hope that more people come to this conclusion sooner.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
You're most welcome, Jason.
And I really look forward to hearing some of your future recordings. Hopefully somebody will be in the audience recording your next choir performance.
I have recordings already, but for copyright reasons, they have to be distributed surreptitiously. There's a nice word for you. And obviously, I can't advertise it. In fact, there's a picture that I have on the banner of my ADN profile, which I shouldn't really be using, but I'm citing fair use and just putting it there anyway.
So I promise not to tell anybody.
I promise not to tell anybody either.
All right. Well, have yourself a nice evening.
Thank you very much. It is coming up to 10 p.m. I'm just about to spend the next 4 hours working.
Ah, such fun.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Keep well.
This concludes the fourth episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I'd like to thank Randolph for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day.